It's time for a WeChat workout. WeChat. Go to the Cliff Central account. Tap connect. Then message to show.
Please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it
is. What the?
Talking Tech with the techie guy, Leon Segev, on cliffcentral.com.
Good day and welcome to another episode of Talking Tech. My name is Leron Segev, thetechieguy.com is the blog where you can find all tech stuff made easy. And this is the point of our show, because not only geeks need to know about the stuff, but we all do. And today joining me in the studio is Tanya Kowalski. Hello, Tanya.
Hi again. How are you doing?
Good yourself.
Good, thank you.
Are we ready to have an awesome show as usual?
As usual, absolutely.
Now, Tanya is a tech mommy blogger. You can find her on rattleatmom.com.
C.O.Z.A.
But C.O.Z.A. is kind of like...
Have some more coffee, Leron.
I need so much more than that. You have no idea. So today's show is all about business and tools that we need for business and how we can kind of optimize the way that we operate. We all need to be connected to the internet, but in South Africa, we have the serious issue of dog slow internet. And I'm being very, very kind here. So today we've got some solutions for that. And we're talking about different tools that we could use. And kind of just being able to get our businesses off the ground and making some money out there. As usual, if you want to join in, at cliffcentral.com on Twitter, cliffcentral on WeChat, you can use those accounts to get in touch with us. Tanya, what is your Twitter account?
It's Tanya Kowalski, TanyaKowarsky.
Okay, so that's easy to remember, nice and smooth. But we have tweeted out our names as well, so if you need, it's all there. All mine is at @LIRON_SEGEV. Get a hold of us there, and as usual, ask your questions. And we're looking forward to a great show. So I think let's kick it off with the new tool from Google. Tanya, I don't know if you saw a couple of days ago, Google released this new tool that allows you to place your order for your takeaway when you do a Google search. Now, I think that's quite interesting.
In South Africa as well?
Not yet, obviously. Okay. I mean, yeah, easy. Yeah. Okay. It's only Google, and we kind of, South Africa is like low down on the food chain. But effectively what it is, they've realized that a lot of us do our searches from our mobile devices. And, you know, when you're looking for a restaurant, typically you're looking for a telephone number, directions of how to get to the location, or you just want to place an order. And they've just added another little button that allows you to do exactly that.
And what can you order? I mean, what outlets are attached to it?
Yeah, so it's pretty much the kind of the usual takeaways, pizzas, you know, that kind of thing. They've actually partnered up with a whole bunch of delivery companies. So the equivalent of like Mr. Delivery.
Got it.
Okay. In the States, obviously being a much bigger place than South Africa, they've got a whole bunch of Mr. Deliveries. Their versions of it, Seamless, Grubhub, E24, Delivery.com, Beyond Menu, MyPizza.com are some of the partners that they've hooked up with. So effectively, if the restaurant has got affiliation to one of those food delivery places, you'll be able to press the button, place your order, not even speak to anyone because you don't need to speak to someone, and then it will just magically arrive at your house without getting hijacked en route, apparently.
And if there's like bad service or the food is bad, who's actually liable? Does Google have any...
Well, it wouldn't be Google. They're just kind of the facilitators.
They facilitate. Okay,
so
they're not.
As usual, it's like an Uber kind of disclaimer.
So they're not accountable for bad pizza or a wrong topping or something.
None of that. You're back to the restaurant, but the service idea is this: that you are on the road or you are doing a search from your mobile device. Mm. You know, in front of the TV, you've got typically you would have your mobile near you. You're not going to get up and go find your computer. You'll just use your mobile phone.
Got it.
And I think it's nice. It's integrated nicely into the search results. And I'm sure that service will start expanding and expanding as more and more people get onto it. Some of the initial kind of people that have used the service in the States, I find a friend of mine who lives there, and she absolutely loves it. She says it's one of the greatest thing. What they are asking Google to add now is something called Open Table, which is basically a facility that allows you to pre-book dinner reservations.
Okay.
But you don't have to phone 30 different places. You phone this one server, and they get you a table. So... for better or worse, Google's owning more of our lives
as
we speak.
And let's assume that Google's using your details and your what you like on your pizza and your dress. Just
what
a guess. Yeah. Okay.
We should actually try that. When it does arrive here, I want like weird toppings.
With and double extra anchovies.
And see if your next 200 search results are going to be all about
anchovies yeah.
from Pick and Pay. Yeah, but I mean, that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, if they're going to serve us damn ads, it must be ads that I might be remotely interested in.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's kind of the way I see it. We have no privacy, let's be clear.
So yeah, sure.
That ship has sailed a very, very long time ago. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Google is once again taking another service and just making it a little bit easier for the rest of us to use, which is quite a funky little vibe from Google. I think it was actually one of those pet projects that somebody worked on within Google. You know, they divide their time a third, a third, a third, and one third is to actually go out and find these wacky projects to contribute to. So somebody decided that obviously late night and pizza ordering was a bit of a pain. Oh, here's an idea. Push a button. Sounds very geeky to me. Okay.
It sounds awesome. I'd be keen to try it if it comes here.
Yeah, at a point it will be.
Yeah.
So that's the first tool. So if you're a business, if you're kind of a restaurant or you've hooked up with one of those kind of delivery organization, be prepared. This is coming down the track at a point. And, you know, just get your business geared up for it.
Mm.
Yeah. If you're the first, obviously you'll get the exposure as it needs to. And speaking of good tools to have within the business, a beautiful tool, if I may say, is the new MacBook, which we had a chance to play with the other night. Gold, silver, gray are the three colors.
Yeah, space gray, silver, and gold.
These are the official names for them. Space gray, because regular gray just doesn't cut it.
And I wish I could describe how beautiful that gold is through Unradio.
It really is, and it's light. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's less than a kilogram.
Okay, so what are the specs of this new MacBook?
So the new MacBook, so it's not on sale yet at iStores and DigiCape, but it is available for pre-order, and it is available for demos or for trying out. So you can go and play with it. You can lift it up with one finger almost. I mean,
literally that. I wouldn't suggest the one finger lift because it is not that cheap. It's not something
correct.
You want to drop.
It's not cheap, you know, but it is a premium product, great specs. And that gold is just magnificent. It's not a garish gold. It's more of like a rose gold.
A rose gold.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, it's nice that first of all, there's not one color. So you do have your personality can come out.
Yeah. What color do you think you would go for?
That silver gray.
Yeah. It's kind of like a gunmetal. It's magnificent.
Beautiful.
Which, from some angles, it looks like kind of charcoal-y or even black. But
it just works for me.
It's beautiful,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I can carry a gold one, especially in this country. But, I mean, but when you travel with that little thing, I mean, first of all, the fact that it was so light and small, I was a bit dubious about the keyboard.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were.
Because, as you know, for a keyboard to work, it's got to have a little spring underneath, which kind of makes the keys bounce up and down, which gives them a certain volume, certain size. But the way that Apple has designed this new Mac, it's got something else called a butterfly clip or something along those technical terms. But effectively what it is a fraction of the size, a 40% of the size of the traditional keys. So it allows you to still get your touch typing experience, but without wasting all that volume, which is how they got it that light.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like you are poked or squashed into like a little tablet keyboard. And also, they've extended the keyboard, so there's none of those spaces on the edges.
Look, it just worked. I mean, I don't use a Mac. And for me to pick it up and to just be able to get comfortable instantly says quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, not that I'm that tough with it, but I just don't understand it.
In your opinion,
the jury's still out. But I just don't get it. But what I do understand is that people who have bought Macs 5 years ago, 8 years ago, are still using them today. I'm on my, third, fourth, fifth Windows machine. So you are paying a premium price, but you are investing, the way I said, you are investing into your business, into yourself, and for the next 5 years at the very least.
Yeah. Plus, it's all those built-in apps that you get for free as well. I mean, added value.
How do you mean? What are the apps?
You get iMovie, you get, I'm just trying to think offhand, you get Keynote, so you don't ever have to, and when there's an upgrade, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to pay for software upgrades. They just happen. We'll cross you over, at some point.
So let me ask you a question. If somebody's brand new, like me, and they've always seen these Macs everywhere, and they might not necessarily have an iPhone or an iPad, but this has got a great appeal. How do you get started? What's step one?
Well, I know the iStores and the DigiCapes, they offer free training and support. Okay, so if you're clueless, you don't even know how to switch it on,
literally,
you don't even understand the operating system, there will there are people who will guide you through it. Literally, this is the on button. This is how you sync. This is how you open a document.
Okay, so allegedly.
Say, hypothetically speaking, you had a friend.
For example.
For example, who didn't know anything about Macs.
Right, for example.
For example, right. You would get free training, assuming that you bought your device from an iStore or another authorized reseller. You could get free training. Everything you needed to know.
To get you going.
Yeah.
And if you needed a top-up training, so like you like we'll focus for about an hour and then you tune well, out. could you like
no, absolutely. All the training is for free, and there are more specialized training courses that cover education and work.
Okay.
But the Mac basics, and there's a Mac advanced as well. So
is that a Mac like before basic?
Yeah. There's a basic, which is what your friend would go on.
Obviously, my friend.
Hypothetically.
Sure.
And it's not intimidating. You know, it's.
She says.
Well, I mean, we all started somewhere.
No, that's fair enough.
Right? I mean, Windows, I remember going on a typing course and a basic computers course. So,
okay.
I don't think
anyone...
Don't
be afraid, just do it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's expected to know anything immediately. Okay. It is, I say this because I've drunk the Kool-Aid and I've been using Mac for so long. But it is intuitive and it gets easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it might be...
Are you thinking of crossing over?
I came to that kind of to go see this new Mac, not thinking I'll stay for more than 20 minutes and then, kind of get out of there. But that thing was just wow. And it blew me away, kind of the design of it, but also the specs of it and how fast it was, how responsive.
Yeah,
Screen is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's retina.
Nine-hour battery life. Now, for some of us that travel a lot, that's a biggie because you're forever looking to charge something somewhere. So 9 hours on a plane, I mean, that's going to pretty much cover you for most of the journey. Obviously, depending on usage and what else you do, you get more, you'll get less. But I don't know, something just clicked and I thought, well, hold on, maybe I should be looking at it.
And 12 inches, enough for you?
I'm
talking about on the MacBook.
Well, I was going to ask you if it was enough for you. But yes, for the MacBook. Look, I think the difference between this one, I'm not a Mac, so I couldn't tell you. But what I could see is that because the screen goes right to the edge, you get a lot for the 12 inches.
Yeah.
Okay, bang for your buck.
You're the only one who laughed at that.
I thought it was quite funny. You do get value out of that. And for what the kind of stuff that I do with movie editing, so the iMovie kind of really appeals already. So all my kind of my YouTube clips and things like that, I can just do straight off that without buying yet additional pieces
and
of stuff.
I think with that Retina display, it doesn't feel like you're skimping on quality or, visual impact.
Okay, we got a question from Ryan on WeChat. It says, are Macs available with Windows?
So you can certainly install Windows onto a Mac, absolutely. And yes, it is available.
Okay, so just explain how does that process work?
It's software that you can buy at iStore.
Okay.
And you just install. I've never done it personally, but it is doable.
So absolutely. We know lots of people who do it.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so I'm assuming Ryan's asking, on this new Mac, will that work as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ryan, there's your answer. The answer is yes. Okay, so good question. And by the way, that might be a good crossover, just like a good step to get into their operating system. Or would you not recommend that? Would you, if you're going to go Mac, do you go Mac?
For me personally, the beauty of Mac is the operating system and how magnificent it is. I'm not slating Windows at all. And like, if you love the machine but you love Windows, they can definitely go together.
And there could be apps that only work on the Windows, so you can run those on that Windows side and switch to the Mac when you need to do anything else.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So that might be an experiment we might be worth documenting and getting into. The journey into Mac. Helvin, help us all. Right. So after the break, we're going to be speaking about fiber to the home. We're going to be talking about how to get super fast internet. We're going to be talking about how to finally be able to have first world ability to do things that don't require buffering. Okay. Let's see how that plays out. We'll go after the break.
Talking Tech with the Techie Guy, Leon Segev. On CliffCentral.com.
Right. Thank you for joining us on Talking Tech on CliffCentral.com. We're in studio. We've got Tanya Kowalski and we've got some guys here who are going to tell us all about how getting real internet actually changes the way that businesses work in South Africa. So starting off, we've got Giorgio, who is from director at Vumatel. Hello, Giorgio.
How's it going?
Good. And then we've got a – he terms himself as a regular consumer, Neil from Drum Lab Studios, who's a regular consumer but who has been converted and has seen the light of using a good internet. How you doing?
Hi, Leon. Good.
All right, so let's start at the beginning. I mean, South Africa, we know we kind of bottom of the globe, and our internet really, I don't know, what's a technical term? Sucks.
Crap.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But now we've got this new term that all these techies are using, FTTH, fiber to the home. So tell us, what the hell does that mean?
So fiber to the home is really provision of really, really high speed internet into people's homes. We know the average broadband speed in South Africa at the moment is about 3.6 megabits per second. Okay, and as you said, Leon, we rank probably in the bottom half. Really, actually, right at the bottom.
Literally that.
By world standards, when it comes to our broadband speed in South Africa, and we also rank as one of the most expensive when it comes to data prices. So fiber to the home really is about changing that landscape and bringing really proper broadband. When you say broadband now, it means broadband.
Yeah, exactly. Real stuff
to South Africa.
Because it's a big thing saying that South Africa doesn't have the bandwidth, but that's not true. We have the bandwidth, it's just bloody expensive.
Yeah. So also, if you look at the context, the South African context, is we've got plenty of capacity coming down the undersea cables, the CCOMs, yes, the WAC. Sure. There's plenty and plenty of terabytes and capacity that is coming and landing in, on the east and west coast. But the real problem is around bridging, and we call it the last mile.
We hear that term often. So what is the last mile?
Last mile is really a term used to describe the connection from the curb or from the street corner into a property, into someone's
premises. Okay, so literally the last bit of the
journey.
Okay.
And that's really where the big gap in South Africa has been, is we've got all, over the last few months, we've had this capacity undersea cables, we've got metros, you'll see them digging up William Nickel and Jan Smuts. Every other road, and they're connecting cities, metros with fiber. And it's time now, the time is ripe really, where we've come to play is in bridging this last mile. It's this last connection from the curb, from the corner, and taking it into the house.
Okay, so fiber, that's the actual physical medium that you use to connect from the curb to the house. And it's traditionally, it will be copper cables.
Yep.
This is very, very different. This is glass tubing.
Sure.
Very, very brittle. Yep. Specialized skills, right?
Yeah.
And then the idea with fiber is that it's because of the medium, it allows you to transfer data that much quicker.
Sure. So across fiber, because it travels at the light of speed of light.
Yep.
It's really constrained by the equipment you put on both sides. So in theory, it's sort of infinite, and you can push data at terabytes and terabytes per second, but it's really constrained at the equipment on that you put in the home and sort of in the exchanges.
Okay, so now you can't turn on a switch and it's just there. You've got to actually go into an area by area and get those areas physically connected. It's not a software thing, it's a hardware thing.
That's it.
Okay, so where are you at the moment?
So we've successfully completed the rollout in Parkhurst. Okay. That started in August last year. We've connected 2,100 premises, businesses. We fiber up all the businesses, all the homes in an area or a suburb. And we're currently rolling out in Parktown North, Greenside. We start Saxon World, Parkwood, Killarney, Riviera in the next few months.
I'm so close. This is just like in between.
I think if it's not going to come to you, you better go to
I better move. Because I'm in Marentia. So we're you're talking to just the left, to the right, behind.
So what is the procedure for getting it into a suburb? Do residents, do you need a buy-in? How do you what's the starting point?
Yeah, so what we've done is we wait for enough sort of pull from the residents. We typically work very closely with the residents' association of the area because that's the easiest way to get to the community. And the reason is putting this stuff in the ground is painful. Okay, there's no
painful for you or painful for residents.
Painful both. For residents, and yeah. then painful for us when they complain.
Because you have to dig up their verges and their okay.
That's correct. We
you can dig up mine, dude, anytime.
For example, in Parkhurst, we trenched 54 kilometres.
Sure.
In 5 months, we crossed 2,100 driveways, and as you know, Parkhurst.
Yes, not so much.
Spilled, you know, these properties spill over onto the verge.
Yes.
So we dealt with very, you know, irate customers, and you do go through the short-term pain. And so you see the community go through a bit of an emotional roller coaster where they, you know, up in arms, sure. when are these guys going to leave? Are they going to put it back together? And then when they start seeing the benefits and the first homes getting connected, and they're talking to their mates, they realize, hey, hold on, this is worth it.
The smuggest people in Johannesburg at the moment are Parkhurst residents.
Allegedly.
Yeah. No, they're smug because they've got fibre and they brag about it and they talk about their speeds all the time. I'm quite jealous of them, which is why I'm a little bit bitter about it.
We're all a bit bitter and twisted.
So if one house doesn't want it, is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. So what we do is we do it on a suburb at a time. So we go in and work with the community. We get endorsed by the Residents Association. They say, cool guys, we're happy to support you. What we do then is we roll out and we connect every single property to a fiber box on their boundary wall. And then as and when people order a service, we would run the fiber from that box on their boundary wall okay. into their home.
So you get it effectively, just not enabled. And then once you pay up, you'll get a physical line in.
100%.
With a live fly lead.
That's
so, Neil, you're one of these smug people who has got...
I'm one of these smug residents. Yeah. Yeah. I'm one of the lucky recipients who couldn't wait to have my driveway dug up.
Absolutely. I'm so with
they
you.
They could demolish half the house if they wanted to.
I would have had the sign saying, start here now. Okay. So, you know, it's in your area. You've got it.
Yes, I'm living in
Parkhurst. I actually kind of this conversation because it's just irritating.
I think we should just kick him out, please.
Really. All right. So you've got to start somewhere. So... what speed do you get out of your line? Do you know?
Yeah. Is it fast? I'm running fast. You know, I've experimented with different speeds and right. I've used a couple of different service providers. But the maximum I was using at one point was 1 gigabit download. That's 1,000
1
megabytes.
1 gigabit download.
1,000 megabytes.
Neil is going to be leaving the building very, very shortly. Security? Anybody? No. Sure.
Okay. And, you know, that was pretty nifty because you can download things like iTunes, for example, or wherever you're connecting to a good server, like the Apple servers and stuff, you would literally download. I downloaded, I think my record was 6.8 gigs in 3.5 minutes, something like that. And the uploading was for 100, but I use it principally 50-50 for leisure and business.
Okay, so let's look let's start with your business point of view.
Mm.
Okay, what is your business?
My business, I'm a session musician, so I work in a lot of different musical environments. I do freelance work, and I also run two or three different studios, training studios, as well as a recording facility. The principal use of the fiber to the home is that for the business side of things is that I'm using it for peer-to-peer recording. Peer-to-peer recording is very much like, you might call it sort of like Skype on steroids, I suppose, okay. Whereby, you know, you are interacting, communicating in real time, multi-track, high-definition audio to a studio person in London, for example, sure. in my case. And we can enact real-time recording, multi-track, just as though he's sitting right where you are, Leroy. And I can record drums, multi-track, in real time. He can send me audio, and I can record just as soon as he was on the other side of the glass here.
So this is not possible, clearly.
It was not possible without – it's not possible without fiber. And, of course, the other party must also have speed. But he's on – what's the BT line over there called? You know, that's very high speed.
I don't know, but they pay like £3 a month.
It's a bit crazy, yeah. And they throw in all the cable networks on the channel. So principally, that's one of my uses. And, you know, I have a studio in Four Ways, which runs VDSL, which is 40 megs, which isn't bad, but the upload is chronic.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It takes, you know, still the whole day to upload a 10 meg file. So I bring all that stuff home as well, and I upload at 100 megabits per second.
So, I mean, it's literally worth your journey from that office with a memory stick to go home and just do the upload.
Yeah, it's no big deal for me because I work in both places anyway.
Okay, so do your normal commute between the two places?
I commute every day.
Okay,
yeah. So you're just increasingly, I'm moving the recording side of operation to Parkhurst because it's just
makes sense.
Because there's always that bottleneck up at the other place at the moment.
So whilst we're hoping that you have insulation and your neighbors are not going to be too bitter and twisted.
Well, it's all digital at the moment, so there's no acoustic drums.
The way you said at the moment. Because as it increases and gets bigger and bigger.
No, the acoustic stuff stays in four ways because I do cherish my neighbors.
And they cherish your area as well. That kind of changes the business. I mean,
it's a game changer. It's a total game changer, and it's a life changer too. Because from the leisure side, the number of streaming channels that you can now access through, admittedly, you have to enable one of these what they call smart DNS, breaks down your region blockings and stuff like that. But I basically unsubscribed from Telcom and DSTV and all
everything
this
else
because and it's virtually paid for itself because I'm able to cancel all the other previous services
and just use that money to fund this
principally, all in one.
Now we got a question from WeChat from someone called Inappropriate. No, I shit you not. That's what it says. It says basically how much does it cost? I mean that's the basic questions.
Cool.
Is it a monthly cost? Is it a once-off? Is it an installation?
Sure. So the most important thing to keep in mind with Vuma also is that we install this fiber on an open access basis. Okay, so we put in the infrastructure, we put in the pipe or the fiber and connect your home, and we make that infrastructure available to service providers to then create and price packages on our system or on the network rather. So we have four line speeds or five line speeds. Is a 4 meg line starts at 4:45. So that's a true that's four megs. When we say you're getting 4 megs, you're getting 4 megs.
And uncapped or unlimited.
It depends on what the service provider has put together. On that, for example, is 150 gigs of data included on that. But our 4 meg uncapped is 599, and then we've got a 20 meg service that starts at 769 for 100 gigs. 50 meg service starts at 899, and 100 megs 1,400 rand, and a gig, I think that Neil had, was about 2,500 rand. That's from MWeb. So these prices are really competitive with current ADSL, prices in the market.
Okay, so just want to be clear. Do you need still a service provider? Do you need two, with ADSL at the moment, you need these two players that are involved. You've got your Telcom is going to give you the physical LAN, and then you use a service provider who might be Telcom or might be an MWeb or Access or anybody else. In this particular case, is there still two service providers?
No. Yes. So, yes and no. Okay. So, yes, we provide you still similar to the ADSL. We put in the line like Telcom would put in the line.
And I will pay for that a monthly rate.
These prices I've quoted include the monthly line.
Okay. So we should have been clear. All right. So
very important.
Okay.
This is the end price.
This is the end price. So basically, if I want a 20 meg line, hint, at 769 rand. That's what I'm in for. I don't have to pay a service provider on top of that. I don't have to pay an additional from Telcom, nothing. That is what the check I'll be writing over to you.
100%. And you actually won't be paying us. You're paying your service provider for that. So our line fee, so just how our business model works, our line fee is actually included in that price that we charge the service provider. So for example, Vox Telecom, who uses our infrastructure, would charge you 769. And we would then recoup our line fee from them directly.
Okay. So I still have one point of contact.
Yes.
And if there's any issues, problems, whatever, one nick to choke, and then they'll must deal with whoever.
100%.
And just say there's someone unsmug from Parkhurst who wants to be smug, and they haven't opted in yet. Can they do so at a later stage? Is there an opportunity for them to?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So they can go to our website, www.vumatel.co.za, and order your fiber line online. And we will then send an installation team who will run the fiber into your home.
And is there a cost for that initial setup?
There is a once-off cost of 1,500 rand, once-off. And that's really for the labor and for the materials to take the fiber from the box on the boundary wall into your home.
Okay. All right. And one more question. Can I ask why you're starting with residential areas and not work areas or?
So a lot of business districts and businesses have already been fibered up. Okay. So our founders of Vimatel were actually, their previous venture was fibering business parks. So this was where the big gap in opportunity is, I guess.
All right, we've got a couple of more questions which are coming in through WeChat, and we'll address them shortly.
The further we fall when we crash down, through all of these years, I can accept it's over now. I won't let go.
And we are back on Talking Tech, where we make technology simple so anybody can understand it. And we got Tanya Kowalski in studio, and we got Georgia from Vumatel, and we have got here Neil from Drum Lab Studios, one of the smug people, quote unquote, who has this insanely fast line. I think everyone's kind of trying to ignore you now on purpose. So just before the break, we were talking about costs, and a couple of questions have come in on Twitter and on WeChat as well. One of the question is, again, from Inappropriate, who basically says, how far are the townships like Alex and Soweto from this kind of technology?
So, I mean, we'll go, you know, we're currently building where there's enough demand from the community. So what we're seeing now since Parkhurst is a lot of resident associations and communities are now getting together and putting forward these requests for proposals to fiber companies to come in and build the network. I can't say when we're going to get there, but it's sure. All also around a business case.
If people get together, I mean, I think that's the message here, is that if your area, if you're keen for this kind of technology, this kind of speed, if you can muster enough support for it, you'll provide the service.
True.
If people are able to pay for it, people are able to, it makes sense for you to do that.
Yeah.
You're able to. Is there a fiber by those areas that you guys hook into?
There's, as I was saying, referring back to this dark fiber, Africa have, right. You know, put a lot of fiber in the ground all over the country. And we basically tap off or use that existing network to just do the last mile portion in a suburb.
Which kind of leads us to the Henko's question. He says, so DFA, which I'm assuming is Dark Fiber Africa,
yeah.
Dug up the whole of Klerksdorp. Installed 80 million rand fiber, and now it's been dormant like forever, quote unquote. Nobody's offering fiber to the home or fiber to the business. When is this expensive fiber going to get used? I suppose get together and we will come.
Yeah, get your community together and we'll come. It's really now about these communities pulling together. We've got an online website. It's a portal where people can punch in their address. They can put in their suburb name, and effectively, with enough interest and enough people rallying together, it shows us that there's enough demand there to go and deploy the network. But we have to start somewhere. You know, we get inundated every day with requests to come here.
But you must get like one here and three here. You need a bunch.
We need, you know, 30-40% of a suburb
to make it feasible.
Exactly.
Neil, from on your side, how did you get involved in this? Did the residents approach you? Did you just kind of see us online and you went, shit, I need to have one of these?
I just heard, you know, I started reading about the prospects of having the service online. And, you know, obviously in Parkhurst particularly, there's a very, very jacked residents association.
Okay.
I mean, I think we have some genuine rocket scientists amongst us in that community. And they really are motivated and probably one of the best organized residents associations I've ever, you know of anyway. And they basically poll enough people to, as Georgia mentioned, to warrant starting the outlay of the service. And I was basically more anxious than most, being sort of sure. Like a tech junkie as it is, you know. And of course I do a bit of after hours gaming and stuff, and it just and watching all these international channels and high definition, I just couldn't wait. So obviously I motivated as much as I could to get my installation put in. We were somewhere down the list, and then by some miracle, and I really think it was a miracle, we got bumped up from like seventh in line to the second in line. So, you know.
What a win. Did you go knock door to door and say, look,
I actually did volunteer to hand out pamphlets, which I duly did. I went everywhere with pamphlets and booklets and explanations. I went door to door to all the businesses, and you know, and ignorance is too strong a word, but I don't think people quite realize,
as I mentioned, what
a game changer it can be if your business or life in any way is internet based. I think increasingly there are very few people whose life isn't these days.
I mean, we all live online. I mean, to some point. So whether you're just sending the occasional email or whether you're Skyping with your grandkids across the world, we get great pleasure in doing Skype local calls just because we can. Mm-hmm. So we're all there anyway. If we have a service that doesn't have that buffering and the whole, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Mm. How about now? Oh, bugger this, I'll find you on the landline. You know, it's like, if you, people don't realize that there is that option. Because, I mean, once you've grown up here and you haven't been anywhere else, you say, well, buffering is absolutely part of YouTube.
It is. It's quite funny because you go outside of the so-called fiberhood. And it's like stepping back into the dark ages. You know?
It must be frustrating. So when you go to another business and you go, oh, only 10 megabits per second. Oh, amateurs.
Yeah. It's about the size of it at the moment.
Pretty much it.
But I should also say that, you know, the 1 gigabit is actually quite excessive. You don't really need that because as Giorgio alluded to, the quality of the connection, you know, a 50 megabit, because it's clean, there's no contention on the lines. And it's not like a piece of old copper going under the ground.
Sure.
You know, I can do what I do with 50 megabits per second, and I have subsequently moved to 100 down, 100 up.
Okay.
And it's still in excess of whatever I would use.
And you are online the whole time. That's your business. Mm. So a regular, so to speak, person who does the occasional gaming or the, you know, mail, Skype, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
for them, that's way over the top. Just your normal 4 meg,
20 meg,
20 meg, 4 meg will be perfect.
The most practical application for everyday people is things like, and actually entertainment.
Yeah,
BBC iPlayer and everything that you can stream. It's absolutely fabulous. It really is.
So in terms of applications, we were speaking to one of the ISPs the other day, and they're seeing the biggest traffic is YouTube.
Right.
And they're seeing 20% month-on-month growth on Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's so many people, and I know, Tanya, we've had this conversation often where people are saying, especially amongst the tech world, they're saying we're spending so much money on this bouquet of stuff on DSTV. Now, I don't watch a single bit of sport, and most of my monthly bill that I pay is to subsidize those sports channels because those are typically the most expensive. Yep. A lot of stuff that we watch is series and things like that. No, not that stuff. Know what you're thinking. But
I have no idea what you're talking
but
about.
But those you stream, you don't download. So a lot of people are saying, look, it's enough of paying those rates. Let's rather take the same money, unsubscribe from the DSTVs of the world, and just I'd rather pay for what I use and give me what I'm looking for. So we are finding there's a lot of that kind of shift mindset that's happening. Yeah.
That's a massive trend.
Completely.
It's people want to watch what they want to watch when they want to watch it.
Just Hanko again, who spoke to us earlier about this Clarksdorp, not getting on board. He says, right, so I guess we've got to start a petition. What's your website? So do you want to just give it out quickly?
Okay, so it's www.vumatel.co.za. It's VUMATEL. And you can click there, check my address, and it takes you to a portal where you can punch in your address and sort of express your interest. If you're not on that site, we've only got 42 suburbs on there. Send us an email, and we're running sort of a pipeline in the back end that we're trying to work out and figure out where to go next.
And Hanko, just remember, we get 20%.
Is it true that having fiber increases the value of one's home? So are the Parkhurst people going to be more smug? Their value has increased.
We get a sort of annual evaluation on the house, and most recently last Friday. And they said it would practically add the value of something between 6% and 8% on the value of the property.
Because of that fiber.
It's purely because of fiber. And especially in that kind of neighborhood where you probably are going to get more business-orientated people living in, it's obviously an important factor, I think.
But I mean, yeah. I could relate to that. The, you know, I was saying earlier, when I moved up to Johannesburg, I work from home. I have a home office, which to me connectivity was, I mean, it's a deal breaker. Effectively, either you work from there or Motherlands gets an extra an extra tenant. But yeah, you know, it's I think it's critical, because a lot of people do this remote working now. A lot of businesses have realized that to have someone sitting in traffic for 2 hours in the morning, they could be more productive if they switch on their laptop at home, work for an hour, and then come into the office. So kind of remote working is one of the trends that South Africa is picking up on. So a home that already has fiber has to be a selling point. I'm assuming estate agents at a point are going to start marketing this as...
Mm. Yeah, so we've already seen agents in the area using this as one of the, you know, one of the value adds to the property when they're selling. We don't have any conclusive statistics now; it's a bit early. But you know, overseas in the UK, recently, probably last year, there was a study that looked at the price of homes with and without broadband, and they're seeing about an 8%.
That makes sense.
They're fetching about 8% more.
A question from Duncan on WeChat. It says, if I have a wireless link to a fiber source, would internet be faster? So do you have Wi-Fi plans in your pipeline?
Yeah, so what we're going to be doing in Parkhurst, we're just sort of wrapping up the details and the package details. We'll be rolling out Wi-Fi areas in the high streets of all the areas that we roll out to. So we'll be able to, it's going to be also one of the first of the kind, is be able to, Neil's going to be able to go, walk down to 4th Avenue, go and sit at one of the restaurants there, and he'll be able to actually use his
home connection
and consume his home data sitting at a coffee shop on 4th Avenue or in one of the other areas in, you know, Parktown North Greenside, where we're rolling out to.
So if you listen quietly, you can actually hear the property prices increasing as we speak, just with those statements alone. But I mean, it's a game changer for Neil. I mean, instead of being confined to one area, when they go Wi-Fi, you'll be able to get your good cappuccino whilst being able to work with no less interruption, no less speed.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I mean, obviously, from my specific purposes with regards to equipment, it might be a bit of a problem.
Sure. You're not going to setting up in a coffee shop. you never know.
No, it's always the first time.
Absolutely. But again, for businesses, you're talking about, you've got real rocket scientists, you know, in your area. I know we're speaking about an engineer who designs aeroplane parts.
Yeah, yes, we've got another guy who has a robotics company. He's obviously been very instrumental in
making sure this happens.
Yeah, as well as a whole bunch of other new initiatives coming up, which is off point. But getting Parkhurst off grid is another new initiative that's in pipeline at the moment.
And the property prices increase one more time.
So there's a guy that we've hooked up. He's an aeronautical engineer. He works from a very nondescript home in Parkhurst, and he's got clients overseas, and he designs airplane parts for, I don't know if it's Boeing or Airbus or whatever, but he used to burn DVDs of his CAD drawings and
courier
these things
lovely
to his clients overseas, and he just said, you guys have completely transformed the way that I'm working here now, because I literally complete the work and off it goes. Within a few seconds, it's sitting on the server on the other side of the world.
Sure. I mean, that's pretty massive. So I think you've whet our appetite. People are going to definitely be signing up. Did I mention that we're so close to you? I think I might have hinted a couple of times. Guys, thank you for popping in. Neil, do you have a Twitter account? Are you online? Do you want people to get a hold of you? Not really.
What's your address? So we can
Where do we camp out with our Wi-Fi?
You can find me in a personal capacity on Facebook, Neil Ettridge, Ettridge, with Neil with two L's. Cool. Or you can go to my website, which is drumlab, one word, .co.za.
Cool stuff. And then, Giorgio, one more time, the website address?
It's www.vumatel.co.za.
Okay, so the idea is to get enough people, sign up, and fiber will be your friend soon.
Or move to Parkhurst before properties become really expensive.
Yeah, so when you see an engineer, musician, and having lunch with a robot, you know it's Parkhurst.
When you do get your channels working and you go to Amazon Prime, which is one of the channels, there's a program called Eureka, which is about a village full of just of scientists. That's Parkhurst.
That's Parkhurst.
Through and through. Yeah.
And the property increased one more time. Thanks, guys. Thanks for popping in.
Thanks very much.
Talking Tech with the Techie Guy, Leon Segev, on CliffCentral.com.
Are you with me? Are you with me? I want to dance by water beneath the Mexican sky. Drink some margaritas, watching the blue light.
All right, so if you are one of those lucky people to be living where the fiber is, that must have changed your life. Let us know so kind of we can do some follow-ups. I know there's lots of people who have shown lots of interest in getting that fiber connected in their, you know, in their area, and now we understand why. This kind of just makes a lot sense. And the rates are just incredible. I mean, it's kind of very equivalent to what you currently pay on ADSL, and you don't get necessarily those speeds. So that was quite cool. One of the cool things, speaking of kind of estate agencies, and one of the things I saw was a Dutch company which has decided to do something very unique to try to sell a property. And what they did was they installed a roller coaster. Yes, you heard right. A proper roller coaster in the home so that potential viewers sit on this little cart and get a little push and they go through the house whilst being on a roller coaster. And as you hit each room, there's a little explanation about this particular room. Now, I'm not sure how viable it is as a project, but obviously it's to get attention and to kind of just be cool and funky about it.
How big is this house?
It's not that big. That's the beauty of it.
I would rather just have a chocolate fountain and get people there with food rather than installing a roller coaster. Just me.
So you have that, or just say, we have fiber. That could work too, right?
That could work, absolutely.
All right, so I'll tweet that link out just in case you want to see the YouTube video clip. It's actually quite cool and insane at the same time. And that's all we've got time for. An hour really does fly past. So thank you for tuning in. Tanya, as always, thank you for being here.
Thank you for still letting me through the door. I appreciate it.
No, any time, you know that. Tanya, your blog and Twitter account.
My blog is www.rattleandmum.co.za and Twitter, it's Tanya Kowarski, TanyaKowarsky.
Perfect. And my name is Liron Segev on thetechieguy.com. And get a hold of me on Twitter at @LIRON_SEGEV. And that wraps up another Talking Tech with us.
Talking Tech with the Techie Guy, Liron Segev on CliffCentral.com.